trimming shit. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast, our final one this week. We'll do another one next Monday and then next Tuesday leading up to New Year's. But we thank you for joining us here live in the 1:30 hour here in the East in the afternoon. And podcast folks, it was great while we were there.
That's
and
right.
You weren't. But that's it's right. Just as good. It's just as good when you wrap it up and take it out of the refrigerator and have it later. our top story is they took the Robert E. Lee statue out of the United States Capitol. Virginia has to have a substitute now for the Robert E. Lee statue. General Lee, upon exiting the Capitol, informed the president, "I would be honored, sir, to be in your presence today in the Oval Office. Nothing would please me more than joining other loyalists in our noble cause of repealing a pilfered election from the Democrat Party and that usurper, Yankee Biden. Your God-given destiny as president shall continue. My staff has briefed me and brought me up to speed on the wonderful work done by Mr. Meadows, Counselors Powell and Giuliani, and General Flynn. Additionally, I look forward to becoming acquainted with Mr. Stephen Bannon, whose legendary strategic thinking is known worldwide. Had we had him on our side 150 years ago, who knows how it would have turned out, sir. Godspeed to you, Robert E. Lee."
There you go.
Words.
Bobby Lee.
See, they had to drag him out of the Capitol, but he didn't resist. He just left.
Now, do we know who Virginia is going to replace that statue with?
Yeah.
Who is it going to be?
Let's see. It's going to be a civil rights icon. I guess it's a Virginia icon. I'm not familiar. Her name is Barbara Johns.
Okay.
J-O-H.
Because I was thinking Arthur Ashe, and we could have some hand-wringing about the cultural wars over Arthur Ashe and see if people would try to block that.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure that this is just as upsetting. I'm pretty sure Miss Johns is African-American, so that's just enough to replace Robert E. Lee with a black woman. And by the way, they're statues. They're not.
I know. Powell led a student strike for equal education at Moton High School in Farmville, Virginia. After securing NAACP legal support, the Moton students filed Davis versus Prince Edward County, the only student-initiated case consolidated into Brown versus Board of Education.
Well, okay. Well,
so there you go. I would say that's some bona fides, as they say.
And you know what? That would be a learning experience for people that would visit, and they go, well, who is that person? And I'm sure they have a little plaque on there that will say what her achievements were.
I would like to have the Robert E. Lee statue put somewhere along I-95 with a big-ass Confederate flag, and people can pay $5 to go pet it. That would be kind of nice if they would be able to do that, because we know those people are only interested in history.
I mean, I haven't driven on I-95 for years, but is that gigantic Confederate flag still somewhere?
I see enough on I-40 going through Western North Carolina, Brad. I don't know about I-95 in Virginia. There's a couple of massive ones along I-40 in Western North Carolina that make me oh so proud to be a native.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that much.
Speaking of that, I read a piece this morning by a historian, and he was talking about the premise was a question of just how serious are people right now who actually use the term secession or we need to start a civil war, because and this seems to be brewing most violently, if you want to use that word, in Texas.
Yeah.
Right? Just, you know, you've got politicians down there, that jerk Ken Paxton.
Absolutely.
Talking about it. I think that's where the guy tried to nail the person who said they had 750,000 illegal ballots. It turned out it was air conditioning parts or something like that.
But again,
an understandable mistake.
Oh,
it
sure.
Happened to anybody.
Potato, potato. And again, the guy who did that was paid somehow hundreds of thousands of dollars by somebody to investigate these claims.
Right, right. But so the premise here in the piece, and this guy's a historian, and he says, look, you know, the guardrails are up and things have generally held, but the capital letters, B-U-T. In 1860, the Civil War really kind of started not the way we learn in the history. In Fort Sumter, they fired on Fort Sumter. We had a Civil War.
There was a lot of shit.
The minute that Lincoln won the election, it was game on.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Oh,
and
sure.
Not only that. And tell me if you've ever heard this before. There was ratcheted up examples of voter suppression in the South during the 1860 election that had never, ever been seen before. They were trying all kinds of tricks back in 1860. They wanted to make sure that only the right people were voting for the right person. And it turns out, I guess, most of the southern states, of course, didn't vote and pass their electoral votes on to Lincoln. But it didn't matter. Lincoln won anyway. So that was very upsetting to the southern states.
It's a big deal.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Right.
All right. So the next thing you know, almost that day, that Tuesday in November of 1860, the resistance started. And it took, and again, tell me if this sounds familiar, it took one guy at one military base in South Carolina, in Charleston, to start disobeying orders. And the next thing you knew, they were doing it in other places in the South, and they were resisting federal orders and control and the rest of that. So his question is, are politicians in places like Texas or Alabama or Georgia, after Joe Biden is sworn in as the president, are they going to go so far as to say, we're not going to follow this executive order that covers the whole country? We're going to disobey federal law. We're going to do those kinds of things that start to make it look like, well, we feel like separating from the union. And by the way, in Texas this time around, they're using the word union. Okay. They're trying to grab the word.
I love it.
Right. And of
the
course,
irony.
What the South did in 1860, 61, that was illegal. Okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as just that we're going to form a new. No, what they were doing was illegal. And right. What is going on right now with these attempts to overturn the election is, it's illegal. They're proposing illegal things, martial law, just from the mind of a president who thinks he can just decide that six states that just, again, they didn't vote the right way. See, they didn't vote the right way. And so we have to make sure that we can screw that up and turn that over. So anyway, the parallels are certainly not perfect. They're not the same. We don't have the issue of slavery, unless you want to say that slavery in 1860 equals Donald Trump losing an election in 2020. Boy, that's a long stretch.
Well, how long is it going to be before somebody on Fox or Newsmax or One American News Network says that this is like the worst thing to happen in American history since slavery? You know, this again, they're going to.
I think they lap that one a long time.
Probably
ago.
So. It's always something. This is like slavery, the imprisonment of Japanese Americans during World War II, the slaughter of Native Americans, and the March on the Trail of Tears. This is much worse than all of that, right?
Yeah. Donald Trump losing a free and fair election by a substantial margin,
right.
Or as he liked to call it 4 years ago, a landslide times two. Okay, because Joe Biden's popular vote margin is about double what Hillary Clinton's was, wasn't it?
Okay. I wonder if he would go ahead and ask for the he would ask for the consolation, the parting gift of like, well, okay, so if this is as bad as what we did to the Indians, we'll give you a casino, sir. Here you go. Here's your casino. Now shut up and go away. Do you think that would be something he would be open to?
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's already screwed that up one time.
Well, but still. I don't know. Did you see this yesterday? I didn't see it till this morning. That again, everyone's known. This is just standard issue Trump. That. All he cares about is the next 5 minutes, winning the next news cycle, getting to tomorrow. Yeah. Although, you know, he has no sense of history going backwards. He has no sense of the future except as it related to what can I do today to help me get reelected? That's all he's been doing for four years, right?
That's it.
And to think that he would ever think in broad strokes about what will history think of me 10, 50, 100 years from now, you talk about beyond his pay grade, right?
That's something that everyone who has ever held that office thinks about.
Until now.
Particularly toward the end. Every other person.
So yesterday, the story comes out that he is yakking. And apparently when he's in there screaming and yelling, okay, just going nuts, all kinds of shit falls out of his mouth. As you know, he just does random thoughts, just brain farts about everything. He goes, well, which airport is going to be named after me? Who's right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, no, your legacy is not going to be wrapped up in how much shit gets named for you. Your legacy is going to be wrapped up on how you destroyed the basic framework of the United States government. Your legacy is going to be tied up in putting kids in cages.
Oh, yes.
Trying to build a wall.
Absolutely.
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. Do not forget Charlottesville.
Muslim ban. The general demeanor of your horribleness, undermining every bit of the federal government that you could. And now on the way out the door, you are leaving landmines and cherry bombs everywhere, trying to screw up the Biden administration as if no one will say or stop him or put him in a straitjacket and carry him away and say, sir, any attempt to destroy the fundamental framework of the American government right now, department by department, office by office, position by position, you're not just hurting Joe Biden. You're hurting the United States. You used to be president of the United States, sir. Are you aware of that? Okay, we can't get to that. So now all he thinks about are things like, well, what airport? And I got the perfect answer on this.
What do you got? Go ahead. Hit me.
It's very simple.
Yeah, yeah.
The Moscow airport right now is named the Alexander Pushkin Airport. Alexander Pushkin was apparently the greatest Soviet poet ever. He lived, I think, from 1799 to 1834. So he's had a 200-year run, right? And since Moscow's had an airport for 70 or 80 years. Okay, so time to rename it. Wouldn't that be the ultimate thing? He can't get a building built there, okay? But Putin could throw a sop to him by doing that. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Because Putin doesn't need Trump's permission to do that, right? Other than that, it's a dead bang loser. What city would ever change the name of their airport to Trump International? There's just no way.
I can't think of any American city. I mean,
don't worry. West Palm Beach ain't giving you the name there.
No, I don't see anybody in Florida touching it. I mean, I always go to Dallas, but I think Dallas would even fight that. I don't think they would even do it. No. Do you think someplace like Oklahoma City, which is really kind of a blue city within a very red state, they wouldn't touch that?
No.
If you had like a shit, like some, like Rome, Georgia, maybe something like that. A tiny one like that.
And I think if it was going to happen, which I don't think it is, if it was going to happen, you're right. It would be that. It wouldn't be a major metropolitan airport. It's not going to be. It's not going to be Dallas or Houston. Well, wait a minute. Trump wants Houston because George H.W. Bush Airport is the airport in Houston, right? Or it's one of them. I think it's two airports.
If you wanted to give him one, I mean, LaGuardia is so shitty. Just go ahead and let him just call. LaGuardia is fine because nobody gives a fuck about it.
And Trump is so loved in New York.
Absolutely.
I think that would be an easy one. I think they'd do that in about.
They should go ahead and name Teterboro after him. If they're going to do that because he cut taxes for all those rich people flying in and out of Teterboro. So go ahead, just name that after him. That'll be just fine.
Yeah, New Jersey, a very very red state. They would love that. Yeah, it's never going
to
happen.
You brought up something interesting. If you start to rank just like the four or five shittiest things of the Donald Trump era,
it's hard.
I would say COVID and the COVID is number one. To me, that's everything because it just that's the ball of shit. His incompetence, his inability to lead, his inability to manage, the denial, all of that, which ended up And again, he's not responsible for killing 300 and some odd thousand Americans, but he really contributed a great deal to it. Man, I think that's got to be top of the list.
Is just the general headline of lying, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just known for lying, the lying president.
I mean, when you think about all of the things when you think about him trying to the hydroxychloroquine and the injection of bleach into your body and the don't wear a mask and all this horseshit that's come in this entire year has been just disastrous. I think that's probably the headline. Kids in cages would be up there. Charlottesville would be up there. I think that's your top three. I think it's COVID, kids in cages, and Charlottesville is your top three. And then after that, I think things are kind of negotiable.
Dealing with Russia. That's how crazy it is. You're leaving off the fact, not intentionally, Donald Trump is an impeached president.
Yeah, that's true.
He's an impeached president.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, one of the things about Bill Clinton is he was an impeached president. You don't get to wipe that off your record. It doesn't get expunged by a judge or by history. It happened, whether it was justified or not. I don't think it was justified in the case of Bill Clinton. I think it was definitely justified in the case of Donald Trump, and he got away with it. He got away with it because of a Congress that is going down in history, the Senate in particular, going down in history as traitorous.
Yeah.
Betrayal of their oath to the country.
Their country, the country and the Constitution, for sure.
They have used all of their political capital to support a man and not the United States of America. I can't think of anything worse. I can't think of a worse betrayal.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Than that. And remember, the revisionism is already starting. I mean, it is starting right now as we speak.
Oh, yes.
And it's starting as you have people like Bill Barr and even Rudy Giuliani saying, that martial law thing, I can't on board with that one.
But I'm sort of there, but I'm not all the way.
And soon it will be, I was against him for blank, 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 blank.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't say it out loud, but I worked behind the scenes and made sure that blank, 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 blank didn't happen. And that's why I stayed. And that's why in public I lied and defended and saluted everything he did, no matter how crazy it was. Oh, he's a different kind of president. That's a tweet. That's not really policy. Oh, that's not what Donald Trump's really like in person. Oh, on and on it goes. It is just starting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think there's some of that. You brought up an interesting question when you talked about the airport. The Donald Trump library. Now, it's going to happen because it's going to be money in his pocket, right? There's going to be some sort of grift or some sort of payment. Do you think the Donald Trump library happens? To me, it feels like it happens either at Hillsdale College or like at Liberty or someplace like that. But even Liberty right now is trying to cleanse themselves of some bullshit. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly where. It feels like maybe the Donald Trump Library ends up at Bob Jones University in South Carolina.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't know. But people don't go to libraries and they don't go to memorials. I don't know. I don't know.
It will be a sign of defiance among his followers.
So you're right there. We're forgetting, at least for the moment, how this would work, because of course it would be another phony fundraising bonanza for Trump. He could send out emails this afternoon saying, we're going to build the greatest presidential library. Nobody in the world ever thought it was possible to build one this great. There's never been one like this, right? He'll pump it up, puff it up, and ask for donations. And at the bottom of the email, it'll have all that fine print, just like he's had the fine print on the solicitation since the election to raise money for his defense fund, of which none of it is going to that. It's all going to him either personally or to run a campaign in the future or to distribute to anyone he wants, including his probably family. But he'll do the same thing with the library. He'll say any donation to the Donald J. Trump Library under $5,000 can be used for immediate political purposes to run my reelection campaign. If you give over $5,000, then we'll think about going down to the brick store and buying some bricks with it to build the library. And he'll, you know, the fine print won't be read. No. It will be pointed out by all of us. It'll be pointed out by Lawrence O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow. It'll be in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and it won't matter. Donald Trump will have raised $250 million in 6 days for his library, of which $240 million of it is not going to go to the library.
Okay, no, stupid kids, the stupid right. ne'er-do-well children.
Right, right, and he'll lie about it, and everything is a scam. Everything's a grift.
Well, you've already seen the Republicans are pulling their hair out because he's trying to funnel "quote unquote" donations to the Georgia fight through him, and a lot of that stuff's going to end up going to his stupid adult children. So they're pissed off because they're trying to get money to the actual candidates, to Kelly Loeffler and to David Perdue. And Donald Trump's taking a good chunk of it. And none of that money's going to get where it needs. By the way, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. But, and by the way, at this moment, mark the tape snurdly moment here. It looks like the two Democratic candidates have a better than decent chance of winning, and it would be the greatest cherry on top of the poetic justice that we're all seeking here in the end if Trump, like he says, is going to show up the night before the election for one last great rally.
Yeah.
All right. And the two Republican candidates lost. Now, we've already gone over this idea that I don't even think Trump wants them to win, but he's playing the game here.
Yeah.
But this isn't asymmetrical. This is insanity symmetrical chess that's being played in Georgia. And I think it will depress Republican turnout because, remember, Kelly Loeffler, the cheerleader, as I like to call her, the Stepford wife.
So sexist.
The fembot.
So misogynistic.
The moron. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Send letters to our general manager.
In my office at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll be in his office at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. He can fire us.
I'm so glad I don't have to sit through those fucking meetings anymore.
Now, remember, she was appointed by Governor Brian Kemp.
Yeah.
Right?
Who Trump hates now.
8 months ago. Wait. So they were best friends, Kelly Loeffler and Kemp. So he appoints her. And Trump wanted Doug Collins, that fast talking, fuck face, piece of shit, right wing asshole from Northern Georgia, who was Trump's number one or number two defender at the impeachment hearing.
You talk about a used car salesman, and I apologize to every used car salesman in the world.
Right, right. So, so Trump is now saying that the appointment of Loeffler was wrong by Kemp, so he hates Kemp, but he's pretending that you should still vote for Loeffler because she's a Republican, but the Doug Collins is the real person who should be in that seat.
Right.
So if you're really a Republican in Georgia, what do you do? Don't you just say?
Well, there are also there are a lot of real Republicans in Georgia to be told right now not to give the GOP what they want and to sit on the sidelines and do not vote for Loeffler or Perdue. Well, yeah, that's being done right now.
Whatever third rate attempt I just made to explain the cross loyalties there, it just sounds like a big mess to me.
That's what fucks me up. That's what makes me so upset is that, like, despite all these cross currents and Trump,
yeah, I know,
they're really screwing it up, they'll end up winning. I mean, I think they're going to win.
They could.
I feel like they're going to win at least one of those seats. I don't know which one it's going to be. I think it's going to be.
Well, if they win one, it's going to be Kelly Loeffler.
I think that's the one.
Because she's white, and we can't have a Negro representing us here from the great state of Georgia.
That's basically what I'm thinking, yeah.
That's kind of simple. But I think the discord is important. I think it does matter.
Okay.
So,
I hope so.
This is before Christmas. This is before Christmas, so anything can happen here. We know that.
This is the story in Axios. President Trump in his final days is turning bitterly on virtually every person around him, griping about anyone who refuses to indulge conspiracy theories or hopeless bids to overturn the election. That's several top officials telling Axios this. The latest is that targets of his outrage, Brad, include Vice President Pence, Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, White House Counsel Pat Cipollone, and Secretary of State Pompeo, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Brad. These are the people that the president is currently mad about because they're not doing enough to defend him.
Well, this is...
It's great. Don't act like this isn't great.
This is just the meltdown. This is Hitler in the bunker. There's no one left. There's no one left to blame except yourself. And if you're never going to blame yourself, then everyone who's ever defending you cannot defend you hard enough.
Well, isn't this the main complaint? Many people have pointed this out. Isn't this the main complaint of Donald Trump throughout his life, really, and certainly throughout his presidency? Is you're not doing enough to defend me. I need my Roy Cohn, right? You're not being my Roy Cohn. You're not out there doing what you need to do for me.
There's nothing new about this story except the names have been changed, not to protect the innocent, but to protect the collaborators, because you can be, as you can see, the only people now that were, quote, close to Trump who are not on that list of names that you just read have the last name of Trump or are married to someone named Trump. He's down to that. And I'm not even sure if Melania would be on the exceptions list. Because one day you read she's fed up, and the other day you read she's worse than him.
Okay. I don't know. I think she's off the train. I think after January the 20th, I think it's time for her to bid thee farewell. I don't know what kind of prenup she signed or whatever, but I think she's probably peace out. I mean, she certainly is hoping he drops dead any second now. She's got to be there. By the way, if history with this family is anything, the fight over his estate will be tremendously epic and will be played out as publicly as possible.
Well,
right.
But you bring up the most important ingredient that's still left on the table that doesn't get talked about in an article about who Trump is currently mad at and is about to say you're fired. You're on the shit list. You're off the island. And it's his children who still jockey for that position that they are holding within the will.
Yeah,
because Donald, if you've ever heard of anybody ever at the last moment say, give me my will.
Exactly.
Gone, right. You can just see that. You can see Trump. You can see Trump doing that.
Oh, yeah. He's got it in the drawer. And the minute one of them says a crossword to him, he starts grabbing the pen. You're not getting this now. You're not getting this golf course. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's happening because none of them really loves him. They're just there for the gravy train. That's all that any of them are there for is the fucking gravy train.
Right.
Top official that says you're trying to stay away from the West Wing right now. Trump is lashing out and everyone is in the blast zone. At this point, if you're not in the Department of Homeland Security or the military to impound voting machines camp, the president considers you weak and beneath contempt, Brad. Trump is fed up with Cipollone, his counsel. Some supporters of Cipollone are worried that Trump is on the brink of removing him and replacing him with a fringe loyalist. Let me repeat that. Trump is on the brink of removing Pat Cipollone and replacing him with a fringe loyalist. What's the punchline, Brad? Pat Cipollone used to be a fringe loyalist. Now he's not crazy enough for Donald Trump. Pat Cipollone used to be as insane as fuck. He used to be the guy that was crazy as shit, and now he's useless to Donald John Trump, right?
Well, he made all of those upside down arguments sound reasonable.
It's insane.
At the impeachment trial, he was that guy. He would be as if John Dean said, "I'm in all the way. I'm going with you all the way, Mr. Nixon. I'm never leaving you, sir." And then Nixon at the last minute said, "Get out of here." I mean, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. We're beyond 25th Amendment territory here, and that's the sad part of this. Yeah. That's the sad part of this, that even at this late hour that Mike Pence and half of the cabinet, because I think it's half the cabinet has to vote. to remove a president.
Right.
Under the 25th Amendment, that they can't find it in their little patriotic hearts to do the right thing for the country. They're willing to let us stew for the next 30 days. And by the way, if they did this today, it would be a wonderful public service. And here's why. Because Trump would be out before he could issue pardons. Okay,
well, that would be amazing.
He has not issued any pardons for a couple of weeks.
Well, this also goes back to the thing that you've talked about for so long. What does it take for these people to go, fuck it, I quit. I don't care.
The answer is there's nothing. We know that.
What is it? I mean, it's like, I don't know. You need to be shouted at by this maniac for no reason for the next like 4 days, 3 days before Christmas, when you could actually be with your family, just drinking and hanging out and just like, you know, wrapping presents and shit. Do you need this? And do these people who are still sticking around, Do they think like Mark Meadows? Does Mark Meadows, who I don't like, who I think is an opportunistic piece of garbage from Western North Carolina, does he really think he's doing the country favors by standing in the breach somehow? Is that what they've deluded themselves with? The people like Mark Meadows and Pompeo and these people, that they're the ones that are saving the country from this maniac at this point?
I think so. And
jeez,
I don't know whether my dream is ever going to be fulfilled of Trump all by himself in the White House with the phone in one hand and the remote control in the other hand, all by himself. It appears there are some people that will not leave him. I mean, he has done way more egregious things in the country and to the country over the last few years than just shoot one person on Fifth Avenue. I'd take that in a second. Hey, we'll take that. You can get away with that. But he's killed really hundreds of thousands of people, been responsible for it. There's no doubt about that. I mean, anybody that doesn't think that now, after knowing the truth of how he abandoned his post as the leader of the country early in 2020, thinking that that was the path to reelection. If I just deny that the virus is real, if we set the worst example ever, if we label masks as being weak and feminine and not strong, and ineffective, that in and of itself killed tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people.
I agree.
Who have followed him down the rabbit hole, and they are still with him today. They are still there.
They're jumping right off the cliff. They're running right off the cliff.
They're still. And I don't know about you, but every hour that I hear another story of how many people are determined to travel.
Oh, my God.
For Christmas and be with her.
Oh my God.
But then that doesn't matter because, well, Dr. Birx went to her house in Delaware. She made the rules and she's breaking them. So I'm going to do it and kill myself and kill my relatives.
I'll show you motherfuckers.
To prove that she, with a somewhat slightly defendable story, but again, if you're explaining, you're losing if you're in that position. You're in any of the other politicians, if you're explaining, you're losing. You should all be sitting tight and not giving any room for people to say, you said stay at home, don't go to restaurants, and the next thing you know, you're at the most expensive restaurant in your city with 10 people smiling without masks on. Good move. Way to go. You're really helping the cause. But that being said, that does not encourage me to suddenly show up at some mall without a mask on and shop with a lot of people in a crowded space because a politician was stupid. Okay.
I had there's something that happened in my life about 2.5 years ago. I got diagnosed with diabetes. I had to take metformin, and I was taking a statin, and I was taking 3 separate medications for my hypertension. And at that point, I took a hard look at myself, and I went, you know, I'd really rather not my mother bury me. I don't want my mother to bury me. It's just one of those things. So I made some adjustments in my life. Now, if I did all of that, got myself healthy, lost the weight, kicked diabetes ass, and I just went out there and said, fuck it, I'm going to go out and hang out at a backyard, or not even a backyard, but an indoor barbecue and cough on people. And then my mother had, how stupid would that be? And then my mother had to put me in the fucking ground because I was stupid just to say in your face to the libs, the libs. How dumb would that be?
I would still be thankful to you because your casket would weigh significantly less when we carried it.
Thank you. It really would be. You wouldn't throw your back out or anything. It would be right.
At least you slimmed down before you did something so stupid.
How dumb? How stupid is that? I mean, that's always been a thing in my life, right? I think about, like, I don't want my mother to bury me. Like, if, you know, I don't drive on the interstate doing 140 miles an hour, zipping it out. I don't get a motorcycle and just race it up a cliff. I don't want my mom to marry me. It's just a thing.
That's an adjunct. That's a corollary to how we tried to conduct ourselves when we were working on the radio, which I always say, well, I never want to be caught drunk driving because I didn't want the front of the newspaper to say, Jew caught driving drunk. Okay, that's what we'd always say.
Well, it's local disc jockey.
Local disc jockey Jew.
Your responsibility to your people is so touching.
Right.
A source who spoke to Trump said the president was complaining about Pence and brought up a Lincoln Project ad. I don't know if you've seen this ad, but it's masterful. And it,
which one?
It's an ad where it speaks like the creepy voice guy speaks directly to Donald Trump. He goes, Vice President Pence is backing away from you. It's like he's doing, and it's like,
I haven't seen that one. I'll look that one up.
Oh, it's wonderful. That claims that Pence is backing away from Trump. This ad has clearly gotten inside Trump's head, the source said. So George Conway and the guys at Project Lincoln, at the Lincoln Project, put this ad out and they specifically wanted to target Donald Trump. And it landed like exactly on target. It went right into his head and he has internalized it exactly as they wanted. Trump views Pence as not fighting hard enough for him. The same complaint he uses against virtually everybody who works for him and has been loyal to him. Pence's role.
I just want to think about how whack that is. Because remember, that's an impossible standard. You could never.
There's never enough.
Enough. Because
that's exactly right.
The Trump standard right now is if you haven't done whatever it takes, whatever that supposedly is, to cause Donald Trump to get 4 more years at 1600 Pennsylvania, then by definition, you haven't done enough. Isn't that right?
Well, if you've ever been, and I'm not saying I was, and if you've been in one of these toxic relationships where you buy the wife a cruise, you get her a diamond necklace, and then you buy her a fur coat, and you make sure that the car is always filled up, and all of a sudden, but you forget to get her dry cleaning one day, and then all of a sudden, that's a 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute fight, a 3-day fight, and there's just never enough. There's never a point where Donald Trump goes, you did enough.
Hey, get out of my life.
Pence's role on January 6th has begun to loom large in Trump's mind, according to people who have discussed the matter with him. Remember, when the Electoral College votes are accepted by both houses on January the 6th, it's supposedly going to be Mike Pence who tallies it up, gavels and says, hey, Joe Biden is the next president of the United States. And if he doesn't do that.
You've seen the video of Al Gore doing that 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
He did what you're supposed to do.
He did exactly. And Joe Biden did what he was supposed to do when Donald Trump won the presidency. As you said, he gaveled down some of the people who were trying to bitch about it. But again, we're in uncharted territory. Trump would view Pence performing his constitutional duty and validating the election result as the ultimate betrayal. Think about what I just said. If Mike Pence does the right thing and declares Joe Biden the victor, which he is by the Electoral College, he will be betraying Donald Trump and stabbing him in the back.
Well, but this is the ultimate and almost final example of if you lie and cheat and steal and pilfer for Donald Trump, you get promoted.
That's right.
If you tell the truth and do your duty and do your job, you'll probably end up on Donald Trump's shit list and fired and degraded and tweeted at and insulted. And so Mike Pence, you can't think of anybody who's a bigger suck up than Pence. I mean, Pompeo's up there, but he's no Pence. You got to get Pence. You know, is the king here.
Pence is good. I mean, I think Pompeo gets style points, but in terms of quality and quantity, Pence is your winner.
Right. And Pence is out there giving campaign speeches with that dead serious, delivery that he has. And to the very, very last moment, the disaster clock is at 11:59:50. And there's Pence doing the last thing he's going to do as vice president, which is confirm the Electoral College. And he does it the correct way. And Donald Trump is done with him. So I guess we have to ask, so who's Donald Trump going to replace Pence with for a second term? Right?
The person who has the worst job in Washington, the Axios article said, according to multiple administration officials, is the incoming head of the Justice Department, Jeffrey Rosen, who's like a Zelig character. He just keeps popping up, right? This Jeffrey Rosen guy just keeps coming back up and up and up again. The consensus is he has no earthly idea the insanity he's in for, and the next month will be the longest of his life. Another reflection of Trump's state of mind. As Axios reported Monday night, the president got his personal assistant to email Republican lawmakers a PowerPoint slide attacking McConnell for being the first one off the ship and absurdly claiming credit for the Senate Majority Leader's victory in the Kentucky reelection. That's quite the message to send 2 weeks out from crucial runoff races in Georgia where Republicans need to stay unified. The insanity of King Gorge continues to go down and down and down, Brad. He's very mad at anybody who tells him he can't accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Right. And he can't handle it right now. And I'm telling you, I don't understand why for the Mark Meadows and the Pompeos and the Pences, I don't know if Pence would be able to do this, but the White House senior staff, if they didn't go, fuck it, we're out, and they just quit en masse and walk out of that White House, how do they not see how good that would be for the country? That would be one of the best things they could possibly do if they cared about this country. That's exactly what they would do. They would line up at that door 10, 12 at a time, put those resignation letters on his desk and get the hell out of the White House and never look back. That's what they can do for the United States right now. And it's not even all that hard.
I'm looking at Jeffrey Rosen, the next attorney general. He becomes attorney general on Wednesday. Which, while we're speaking, is tomorrow.
Yeah,
and he's been a major suck up. Okay,
yes,
he's 2 years ago he stalled the investigation of the Department of Interior. Ryan Zinke is one of those complete.
I remember that
corrupt pieces of shit. So Rosen has, you know, he is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has been willing to do those things. So the question is Rosen so bad, is he so horrible that he will do Donald Trump's last minute 11th hour bidding and appoint some kind of special prosecutor to the two topics that William Barr said on Monday? Basically, there's no there, which is the Hunter Biden thing.
That's right.
And saying that the federal government needs to go and take voting machines and investigate them. Because as you know, the federal government has computer experts who can never be fooled and would know.
There's no history of that at all.
So Mr. Rosen really is at a fork in the road in his life. Okay. He can turn down Trump just the way Barr did this week on these two things, and Trump could fire him, which that'd be fine. I guess Trump will keep looking for somebody, and I guess there will be somebody. I mean, he might make Sidney Powell the attorney general acting, right?
He
could make Giuliani the acting attorney general. Right? I guess he could do that.
He could try.
In the end, this is not going to work.
No,
it's not working. It's not going to work. I can't help it if you're completely out of your mind, but you're not taking my country down with you. It ain't going with you. And all this does is confirm everything we've ever thought about Donald Trump from the minute we heard he was going to run for president in 2015, that he's a liar, he's a cheater, and he's a criminal. And now, at the last moment, he's doing the few things that he thinks can help him defend himself and buy him 4 more years of time before he has to really face the music. And it's not working. It's not going to work. And I put up a great cartoon. They put Donald Trump in with the founding fathers who were writing the Constitution, and Trump looks at him and says, "You're fired." He fires all the founding fathers. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's really trying to do. Everything he's trying to do right now is unconstitutional, and it's against the precepts of the country. And if Mr. Jeffrey Rosen, the next attorney general, who went to Northwestern for his BA and Harvard for his law degree. He's probably one of those people who was taught by Lawrence Tribe or Dershowitz and should fucking know better at this point. And by the way, even Dershowitz is off the train. I've seen it. They're screaming at him on Newsmax.
That's not fair.
Because there is a line for most people.
Right.
And if Mr. Rosen wants to, you know, be that guy, he can be that guy, or he can do the right thing and at least go out with his head held, if not high, but at least he can show his face in public, because that's what it's down to. Who are you voting for, Donald Trump or the Constitution? Donald Trump or the United States of America? And that's going to be the question that's going to be asked of every Republican politician that's out there right now, the Lindsey Grahams and the John Cornyns and the Marco Rubios and the Ted Cruzes, because I'm sorry, they're not going to be able to whitewash this. They're not going to lie and be able to say that they didn't agree with things that Trump was doing. And I'm sorry. The only people that can say, you know, I took a stand and I left are the senators like Jeff Flake of Arizona and Bob Corker
and Mitt Romney. Tennessee
and Romney right now. The rest of them, they got nothing.
That's
they
exactly
have
right.
nothing. And, you know, it's 26, 27 days for us. But for Trump, I guess that's an eternity. And he thinks he can turn it around, and he can't. We are done now until next Monday.
For those of you that are celebrating Christmas, I hope you have a wonderful one. I hope you stay safe. I hope that you remain as alone as you possibly can. be safe, and we'll see you on Monday. And
hopefully, doesn't that bring new meaning to the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas? Yes, you should be home.
If only in your dreams.
You're home. Your home. Not somebody else's home.
That's right.
Just your home.
That's how it should be.
That's a tough one. All right.
See you guys. Thanks so much for the support.
BradandBrit.com.